We're on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, and we're going to start Perek Tolin. This Perek is going to address those things that are prohibited on Shabbos Mirabbanon, and those things that are permissible, even though they are similar to a malacha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tolin es hamishameres biyontif v'nosnim latluya b'Shabbos. There's something called a mishameres. We call it a misanenes, and we're talking about a strainer. Tolin means we can suspend the strainer on yontif itself and put it around a kli, and even though by doing so he is creating an ohel, nevertheless, on Shabbos we're allowed to do so. Excuse me, on Yontif we're allowed to do so. However, when it comes to Shabbos, we need Tluya. It's going to have to have been already suspended on the utensil that I'm going to use now to strain it, because otherwise I'm constructing an ohel, even though it's only a temporary ohel, but min rabbanan on Shabbos, where it's also to be make him an ohel shel she'ena shel kayoma, an ohel aroy, as we call it. So in the case of Shabbos, if it was already suspended over the kli on erev Shabbos, then you're allowed to pour in sediments which are mixed with liquids, and you can be misaning them. Now, even though this is borer, and he's actually selecting the yayin from the shmarim, that's not prohibited, because that's not derech borer. And we're going to have to try to understand why this is not derech borer. The Rashba writes this is called a shinui in brera, because he's not doing a maisi b'yadayim. And what's happening is the yayin is, in the language of the Rashba, zav me'elov. The Rid, in his Piskei Arid, writes a different reason why it's mutter, and he says because ein borer achar borer, that the ikar brera of the yayin was done already in the gat, during the period of drichas hagat, when they squash the grapes and they remove the yayin from the grapes. Chachomim omrim ein tolin es hamishameres biyom tov. We prohibit suspending the strainer over the kli on yontif, and the reason for that is that according to the Chachomim, even ohel aroy is prohibited on yontif, even though his ultimate purpose is for ochel nefesh. But nevertheless, this is something that he could have easily done on Erev Yontif. We have a rule that we don't allow a malach on Yontif, even for the ultimate purpose of Ochel Nefesh, if could have done on Erev Yontif. So the strainer could have been suspended on Erev Yontif. If it had been so, then even the Chachom would agree, you're allowed to pour the wine through the strainer on Yontif, because straining wine is preparation of food, and therefore the straining itself, according to everyone, is mutter. But with regard to suspending the strainer, which is only a preliminary stage, that's a hechsher, since it could have been done on Erev Yontif, it's also on Yontif itself. Avol nosnim latluya b'yontif. We can pour the wine into the strainer on Yontif if it was suspended on Erev Yontif. Everybody agrees to that. It's a Meleches Ochel Nefesh. I have a note here that Af L'das Chachovim Nisinas Hashmorim La Mishameres Melocha Gmurahi, and the Chachovim would say that on Shabbos you'd be Chayev Chatos for that. And even though they say so, but nevertheless, on Yontif it's mutus. You have something which, according to the Chachomim, against Rabbi Eliezer, would be a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos, and yet on Yontif it's mutus. And the reason for that is by straining, you violate the Iser Malachas Borer, but the Torah permitted a Malacha that is Ochel Nefesh on Yontif. So on Shabbos, for doing this Meshamer, he would be Chayev Achatos, and on Yontif, it's Mutter, because it's Ochel Nefesh. Very similar to baking and cooking and kneading the dough. All those are considered Malachas Ochel Nefesh. Now, here's the question we want to raise. Even in terms of the straining of the wine, couldn't he have done that on Erev Yontif? And if that be the case, the straining itself, if it could have been Efshel Asosim Erev Yontif, even if I grant you that it's Ochel Nefesh, it should be prohibited. So Tosis answers that this is a Malacha, the straining, which is Efshel Asosim Erev Yontif. Why? If he does it yesterday, then the ayin is not as good, quality is down, it's not as strong of wine. And therefore, we're going to allow him to do the straining on Yontif under Ochel Nefesh. We're not going to say, well, he could have done it on Erev Yontif. Earlier, if you recall, we had a brisa about chardol, and we said it was Osur Lisanenes Achardol Mimisnenes B'Yontif. And that case is that lo haya miskalkel im haya osa mi esmol. If he would have done that on Erev Yontif, there would be no loss. That's the case of chardal. But here, in the case of wine, there's nothing like freshly prepared wine. Therefore, tziyef shel asosa mi Erev Yontif. Now we go to the Gemara. The Gemara says that this Mishnah, quoting Rabbi Eliezer, does not seem to reflect Rabbi Eliezer elsewhere. Hashta, says the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer, according to Le Rabbi Eliezer, Osufe to be Mosif, Al Ohel Aroy Lomotzifinan. The Gemara is going to clarify later on that you're not allowed to add anything even to a temporary tent. And even if you had a tent that existed already, pre-existent on Yontif, you're not allowed to add anything to that temporary tent. So I mean, you would think that the two strikes here against the Isur, against the Malacha, because number one, it's only a temporary tent, and number two, you're not creating this temporary tent, you're only adding to it. And therefore, based on this principle, that despite these two negatives, so to speak, it's asur on Yontif, so the Gemara asks the obvious question, Lemevad lechatchila shari? Is it possible that by placing this, or suspending this strainer on Yontif over the kli, he's creating an ol aroy, lechatchila, didn't exist, and now it could be mutter? If, as we'll soon prove, Rabbi Eliezer prohibits adding to a pre-existing oel, how much more so he has to prohibit creating an oel from scratch? Now, where do we find that Rabbi Eliezer holds that to be mosif, to add to an oel aroy, a temporary tent, is osur, maihi? Where do we find this? And the answer is in the Mishnah. We had a Mishnah back on Daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, about 12 blot ago. And that was the case of Pkak HaChalon. So you have shutters that you use to close up a window. And one of those cases is going to be Arubas HaGag. Anyway, what we have to know is that the Mishnah records a machlokas there about whether or not you're allowed to close up this window on Shabbos or on Yontif with the shutters. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bizmanche, who kashur vitolui bo. The two conditions that have to be met in order to permit closing the shutters are, number one, that the shutters are tied down to the window, and number two, it's got to be that the shutters are actually suspended in midair. That's called tolui, as opposed to what's called nigrar ala oretz. But in lav, if you're missing one of these two conditions, for example, it's not kosher, the shutters are not tied down to the window, or let's assume it's tied down, but it's not tolui, it's not suspended in midair, it's dragging on the ground, then ain't pokikin bo. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to, so to speak, plug up the window by putting the shutter into the window in this skylight, as we called it. Why? Because he's being mosif al ha'ohel. He's adding to a pre-existing ohel. And therefore, if it's not totally, and it's nigrar, it's prohibited, because again, by putting the shutters, he's adding to the building. And how much more so if it's not tied down to the window? Because if it's tied down to the window, then we could at least say, well, it's tufel to the window. He's not creating a structure or adding to a structure. But now, if it's not kosher, then he's taking something to be pokek, the chalon, and it's as if he's creating an ohel, or at least mosif, I should call it, mosif ala ohel. Chachomim omrim ben kach u ben kach pokekim bo, whether or not it's kosher v'tolui, whether or not it's tied down, or it's suspended, even if it's not tied down, and then certainly it's not suspended, poking him bow. You're allowed on Yontif to close the shutters. And now the Gemara is going to analyze this machlokes about whether he can shutter the window. But first, let me read to you a short note in the name of the Ritva. Okay, the Ritva actually we touched on. And then we had a machlokas way back when between Rav Kahana and Rav Chisda as to how to interpret this machlokas. Rav Kahana and Ula, actually. Rav Kahana says that the Chachamim hold that even if it's not kosher and not tolui, it's mutter. As long as he set aside these shutters before Shabbos entered, Ula says no. Chachamim, what they said is that bein kach u bein kach, whether it's tolui or it's eino tolui, it's even if it's nigrar, it's mutter, the shutter of the window, but only if it's kosher. Only if the shutter is tied down to the window. Omar, the Omar Rabba, Bar Bachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, in analyzing this machlokas, Hakol, meaning both Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim Modim, they agree. She'ein osim, even ohel aroi bitchila. Even though it's a temporary ohel, you're not allowed to create it new on Yontif if it didn't pre-exist before Yontif. Like, for example, if you have an area that's very sunny and you want to block out the sun and end up with shade, so what you do is you create mechitzos, and you put a mat and stand it up on four different klonsos, meaning poles that you hang up the mat, or four mechitzos for the tzel, and this is considered an ohel aroi, but no one would allow you to do this on Yontif. Which means that even the Chachamim would agree that to create an ohel aroi from the get-go is prohibited on Yontif. The Ein Tzarech Lomer, and how much more so, it goes without saying, B'Shabbos, which is more Chomer than Yontif. Lo Nechleku, what is the Machlok Shrin Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, El Lahosif Al Ohel Aroi? Let's say, for example, you already have this mat, and going into Yontif, it's already stretched over these poles, and it's being held up by the poles. But let's say it wasn't completely unraveled, meaning that part of the mat was still migulgelis, it was still rolled up, and now he wants to stretch it out. In such a case, we're going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. If he wants to stretch open the mat and poshto legamri v'shabbos. Rabbi Lezer Omer would hold ein mosifin al oel aroy biyontiv ein tzarch lomer shein osin kein v'shabbos. So hosafa even on an oel aroy on yontiv is also according to Rabbi Lezer, and that's why the pokikin of shuttering up the window is definitely a problem according to Rabbi Lezer. He'll solve it with kosher and tolu. But Chachamim Omrim, you're allowed to stretch open this rolled up mat. Why? Because that's Hosafa al Oel Aroy. And that's Mutter even on Shabbos. V'ein Tzavach Lomar, it goes without saying on Yontif. Now, if we take the case of Pkak HaChalon, let's assume it's not kosher, it's not Tolui, it's a Tosefes Aroy al Oel. So therefore, this is going to be the subject of the machlokes. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's also. According to Chacham, it's mutter. Rabbi Eliezer prohibits mosif al ol aroy, and he holds it's near a kibbona. It looks like you're restructuring something when you add to the ol, even though it's temporary, as opposed to the case of kosher v'tolui, because there it looks like it's already part of the building, part of the window, and the Chachamim hold it's mutter. But in any event, we see explicitly that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that even in a case of Hosafa on an Oel Aroy, it's Osur. And Lashitoso, according to this opinion, certainly it goes without saying that to create an Oel Aroy from the get-go, from scratch, on Shabbos and even on Yontif is prohibited. So how could Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah permit suspending a strainer on top of a kli when he's creating an oil? And the Gemara answers that even though by suspending this strainer over the kli, there is an iser, and that iser would be dirabanan. However, we have halach of ochel nefesh, and Rabbi Eliezer took the halach of ochel nefesh one step further. He's of the opinion that even machshirei ochel nefesh on mutter on yontif, meaning even machshiri ochel nefesh come under the category of ochel nefesh. And therefore, when we're talking about suspending the strainer on top of a kli, and it's the tosefes for an ol aroy, Rabbi Eliezer is going to matter it for the sake of ochel nefesh biyontif, but to be more precise, machshiri ochel nefesh biyontif. And now we're going to quote Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Machshir Ochel Nefesh Biyontif on Mutter, and we're going to identify Rabbi Eliezer as being on the same radar screen, in the same camp as Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshir Ochel Nefesh override Yontif. And that's going to be the case of suspending the strainer on top of the kli, even though it's more than just a Tosefes for an Ol Aroy. It's actually mitchila, it's actually creating an Ol Aroy. But on Yontif, the Torah allows Ochel Nefesh, and for the sake of straining this wine, he's got a classic Ochel Nefesh, and in the case of Machshir Ochel Nefesh, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Rabbi Eliezer Sovar, Lo Ki Rabbi Yehuda, who is Matir Machshir Ochel Nefesh on Yontif, Sanya, we learned in Abraisa, this is in Masechta Beitza, and Ein Bein Yontif L'Shabbos El Ochel Nefesh Bilvad, Rabbi Yehuda Matir Af B'Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. So the Tanakhama, the Braisa, that's quoted in Masechta Beitza, holds that we can only allow Moloch on Yontif if it is an Ochel Nefesh, but something which is Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, that we cannot permit, but Rabbi Yehuda permits it. And therefore, again, Tliyas HaMishmeres, which means suspending this strainer, is Machshir Ochel Nefesh, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer would be matrit, despite the fact that he's creating an Ol Aroy. The Gemara asks the following, Eimar D'Shamin and Leila Rabbi Yehuda, what kind of Machshir Ochel Nefesh was Rabbi Yehuda matir? That's only Sheyef Shal Asosim Erev Yontif. But Machshir Sheyef Shal Asosim Erev Yontif, Mi Shamit Lei. Now we have a problem, because if you're identifying Rabbi Eliezer with Rabbi Yehuda has a restriction, a limit, in his heter of Machshiri Ochel Nefesh on Yontif. It's only an action which he couldn't have done on Erev Yontif. And we spoke about a case of Chardal. We could have done an Erev Yontif, maybe with a wine. He couldn't have done an Erev Yontif. That was our discussion of earlier. But let's take the following scenario. Let's talk about a Shipud. And he has a Shipud, a spit that was broken. Let's say the head of the Shipud, the top part of the Shipud was broken on Erev Yontif. Is in such a case, he could have fixed it up on Erev Yontif. And that's true, that he needs Shipud for Chol Nefesh, but to fix up the Shipud, that's already Machshir Chol Nefesh, and he could have done it on Erev Yontif. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that to do a Tikkun, to fix up this Shipud that broke, that we would not allow on Yontif, because it's Efshel HaSosa al Erev Yontif. If that be the case, then the Gemara argues that suspending the strainer over the kli could have been set up on Erev Yontif. And if that be the case, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Machshir Yochol Nefesh and not Dochi Yontif, it's Efshel HaSosa on Erev Yontif. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Eliezer Adifa to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer took the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda one step further, and he didn't accept that restriction of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning even though Rabbi Yehuda makes a conditional on Efshel HaSosa Erev Yontif, Rabbi Eliezer is matir even Machshir Yochol Nefesh Efshel HaSosa Erev Yontif. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer, now Mishnah, was matir Tlias HaMishmeres B'Yontif. Now the Mishnah records the Shita of the Chachamim. Chachamim Omrim Ein Tolin Es HaMishmeres B'Yontif. And of course it goes without saying on Shabbos. Now what is Rabbi Eliezer, what are the Chacham dealing with? An Issa Doraisa or not? Maybe it's only an Issa Drabonim. Yiboilehu Tolamai. In other words, is he Chayav Achatos if he went ahead, according to Chachamim, and he suspended the strainer over the Kli? If it's only an Issa Drabonim, clearly there's no Chatos. Om Rabbi Yosef Tola, if he went ahead and he put the strainer on top, and it was a shogeg, is chayev chatos. Notice we're dealing with a malacha doraisa of creating an oil. And presumably, creating an oil comes on the maleches bone, or shall we call it a told of bone. So tliyas mishameres is a told of bone because he's creating an oil. Again, the question here is, how could he be chayav achatos for something which is only an oel aroi? This is not an oel shel keva. Obviously, he's taking the strainer this way and that way. It's a separate entity. He's not attaching it with cement, you know, to the opening of the kli. So why would this be a chayav achatos on Shabbos? Unless we can fit this into Abai's kasha. Omer le Abai. Abai turns to Rav Yosef and he says, Elameyata, if you're going to tell me, if you, Rav Yosef, are going to tell me that there is a chiyuv chatos in the case of creating an ol aroy, a temporary ol, is meyata now tola kuza besichta hachinami de mechayev? He takes a jug and he suspends it onto a peg. Sichta is the Aramaic equivalent of a yosed, yud, tuf, dalid, which is a peg. And kuza is a small jug. And now you're going to tell me that this is a chiyuv chatos. Surely this is not a chiyuv chatos. This is only an ol aroy. And tliyas hamishmeres is also an ol aroy. Now it's interesting that the Gemara assumes that kuza besichta is a creation of an oil. I mean, although it's true that the jug is hanging from a peg, but I wouldn't exactly identify that as creating a new oil. So again, you know, the Gemara is saying that you know, hanging a jug from a peg is only of a temporary nature. I mean, I would say it's not it's not even an oil. That's not called an oil. In the case of suspending a strainer, okay, fine. It's not keva. It's not, you know, going to last very long. But nevertheless, it is some sort of an oil. You know, it's a temporary oil. So I'm not exactly sure what Abaye was able to prove from the case of Kuza Besichta. Now, Tosfos, again, we didn't get to this Tosfos on the next Amud, he says that Abaye's intention, his question was that if he's chayev on a Doraisa level for Tlias Mishmeres, then Tlias Klikot and Al Yosein should also be chayev Doraisa. And again, this seems to be a Pella. Hikshar Ritva, Ketzad She'itochin She'sover Abaye. Hare Tlias Klibi Yosein Eino Afiu Ol Aroi. Our question. Well, what are you talking about? Putting, you know, hanging a jug on a peg is an oil? Where's the oil over here? Ain't it domil tlias mishameres shuhu oil aroi? So that's the kasha the Ritva. And now we'll see the answer of the Ran. Haran bir sha'af abai bekushoso sover she'ein bo zeh iser oil. That placing a jug onto a peg is not called an oil. In other words, normally an oil is I create an airspace that's being covered. I'm covering over a certain airspace. Here he's not interested in covering anything. He's just hanging a jug on the peg. Elo kavonas abai lahakshos she'im b'tlias mishameres yesh isur doraisa. If you're going to argue, Rav Yosef, that creating this temporary ohel in the case of the strainer that's suspended on the kli is a doraisa, in kainim tola kli katan al gabi yosef yehebaze yisur akol ponim in rabbonon. The Ran is saying that you have to admit to me, Rav Yosef, that it should be asur to put a jug onto a peg, at least on a drabonan level of Isa. I don't know. The two questions that I have here on the Ran, number one, and this is a Ritva's question, it says here in the Gemara, Hochinami de Mechayev. I mean, it sounds like he's equating the two cases. Not that one is Doraisa and one is drabonan, as the Ran would have. And furthermore, I'm not exactly sure we can make sense out of this, because where's the Darabonin over here? You know, this is not even similar at all to Ohel. So what Shaykhus, you know, I hang up a jug on a peg. You know, what Shaykhus Ohel here that Darabonin should have asked it? Therefore, the Ritva is so hard-pressed here. He says, that Kavonas Abai Beder Guzma. In other words, he wasn't really asking from a strict equation or an analogy. It was just Bidera Guzma. And he was just sort of deflecting Rav Yosef and saying, how could you possibly entertain the idea or the possibility that there is a melacha d'oraisa with a chiv chatos in the case of an ol aroi? El Amar Abaye disagrees with Rav Yosef, and he says, regarding suspending the strainer on top of the kli on Shabbos or on Yontif, according to Chachamim, midrabbanan, the nature of the Iser is drabbanan. And what's the reasoning behind this Iser? Shel yaseh kederech shu oseh b'chol. That this kind of business where you take a strainer and you put it on top of a kli, that's vachadik. You know, that's something that you do on a weekday. And that has nothing to do with Tlias Kuza Besichta, because, you know, when you hang up the jug on the peg, that's not even osim in Rabbanon. It's not at all similar to what you do during the week. But in the case of the strainer, at least according to the Chachamim, that is something that at least looks like Uvda Dechol, looks like something that you would normally do on a weekday. So we're not talking about an Easter with the strainer of Meleches Bona. Forget about Meleches Bona. The strainer is not considered Bona. It's a very temporary construction, and on a Doraisa level, you can't even compare it. So what is the Iser here? Now, let's also add another point here. The Kuza case, where he hangs up the jug on a peg, that's Derech Shibush. That's not even similar to Derech Binyan. At least in the case of the strainer, maybe you could stretch the imagination and see some similarity. But at the end of the day, the Gemara is saying it's because Kederech Shu Ose Bechol. So in other words, Midrabanan, we're not allowed to involve ourselves in activity that is essentially a weekday activity. That's how you would classify it. Now, what does that mean? I mean, obviously, you're not going to tell me that everything I get involved with during the week becomes uvd the chol that's also in Shabbos, and I could be involved in a million and one things. But rather, there are two types of activities. There's activities which might lead to a malacha, and the activities that have no connection to a malacha. So you have activities which are not at all similar to a malacha. No, it's just part of a process that eventually will lead up to a malacha. That's called a uvda dechol situation. In other words, we're going to ban activity, which, not because you engage in it during the week, but during the week, you engage in that activity to lead to something which on Shabbos would have been or would be a malacha. So anything that's part of a process leading up to a malacha is called uvda dechol. And the malacha is uvda dechol, and anything that resembles the malacha, and anything that's part of process of the malacha. So in our case of Misanenes, this is not something that might lead to a malacha, but rather this is an activity that resembles a malacha. Or shall we say it's part of a process that will culminate in a malacha. So the Rabbanan prohibit this, because we're afraid that when a person is engaged in a weekday routine that is part of and that culminates in a malacha, he might forget himself and continue the entire process until it reaches that fruition and he's done a malacha. So for example, if you take the strainer and you assemble it on top of the kli, then in and of itself, I wouldn't say that that resembles creating an oil, but nevertheless, I would prohibit it out of concern that he might come to actually strain the wine on Shabbos, which would, as we said before, be a malacha d'orais. Okay, now the Gemara brings a number of Piskei Halacha that apparently Abaye had organized, had anthologized, if you will. Menaket Abaye Chumra Masnisa V'Sani. Menaket means Malaket, so Abaye gathered together a lot of the Klolim, a lot of the Dinim that he found in Brisos, scattered around, and he taught them together. And these are all cases of Potter Aval Osur, where the Heter is only b'dievet. In other words, it's a situation of p'turim achasurim. That's going to be one klal. Then he's going to have another klal of that which is even mutl chatchila. And he starts talking about those things that are potter aval osur. Hagud. Okay, so good is called a node. Ha'osui may offer. Otherwise known as a canopy, and a strainer. Then he's got a mishameres, right? We said it's a strainer. So we have a goad. Goad is, he calls it a leather bag, right? Asumi R, it's made of leather, and it's sewn up bisfaso on its edges. Okay, so it's a wide mouth leather, a hide bag that was closed with drawstrings. It was used by travelers to carry liquids such as wine or milk. And when a traveler would stop for the night, he would hang up the bag by opening its very wide mouth, stretching it over stakes, and the air circulating beneath and around the bag ensured that the contents would not spoil. So the Bryce is teaching us that we're not allowed to suspend this bag in that way on Shabbos because it's a temporary oil, an ol aroi, and it's constructed when the bag is stretched over the pegs. Then we have the case of kila, which is an angled canopy which slopes down on either side of a bed. And the Braisa is addressing the case of a canopy that has a horizontal roof that's at least a tefach in width. And if the roof of the canopy is less than a tefach, then spreading it out would not even be osur d'rabbanan. And now he has a case called Kise Galim. And that's a kisei shahim shtamshim bo b'mokum shishmo galin v'ya asui mi chulios. So this was a kind of a chair or a couch that was created by putting together different pieces. And he has here a note. He says that spreading these, let's say the leather bag or the canopy, that's called a temporary olaroi. The sectional that we spoke about, this couch that's made up of different parts from galin, that is osur rabbanan, because when he puts the sections tightly with pegs together, then it might be a makabe patish situation. So therefore, kshaomdu mimenu mefarkin oso, when you get up from this couch, you take it apart, you carry it with you, it's one of those, you know, carrying beds. And when you want to sit on this couch, then machzir mecharbim oso, he puts it back together again, and lo yasa, it's oso on shavasim, oso potavol oso, and it's all oso lechatchila midrabona. Now Abai goes on to tell us what that which is also midaraisa, ole keva, which is a permanent ohel, a permanent tent, is lo yasa v'yamoso chayv chatos. So that's these chayv chatos. Now Abai is going to give us a list of those things that are mutter even lechatchila. Avol mita, kise, traskel, the asla. So a mita, in this particular case, is mechuberes v'omedes. It's a kind of a bed that is put together, and it stands that way. It's zkufa, it's vertical, or it's mutal tzida, or it's tipped over onto its side. And he wants to tip it over on its side and set it up on its legs. That's permissible, because it's basically a simple bed that was stood up on its side when it's not in use. Then we have a kisei traskal. Traskal is a basket. And now we're talking about a kisei, which is moshovo me'or. So it's a chair that's made out of hide. And Shirota Leshiv Alav Poscho Vinoteu Al Arba Raglov. So he sets it down on its feet. And Kisha Ome Vimenu Sogro Umakaplo Visomcha Lakosa. And when he stands up, he closes it up and puts it against, leaning against the wall. And then he has Asla. Asla, he defines as a, not a folding chair, but a folding toilet seat. Okay then, so we're talking about a chair that has a leather seat that can be folded, placed again, fine. As we discussed before, it's constructed with a hole in the middle of the seat, allowing it to be used as a toilet. And Abai says you're allowed to lower this bed and place upon it the folding chairs on Shabbos, lechatchila. And even though there is an element of mahil here, but nevertheless, since it's osu v'omed, it's really functioning in that way, where he's just setting it down, it's pre-constructed, and he's folding it up, and he's opening it up, so then this is not considered similar to ohel. It's a pre-constructed ohel, and he's just opening and closing it in order to sit on it, or in order to lay on it, In all these cases, it's mutl chatchila. Now we have the Mishnah that records the Shita of the Chachamim Einoslin Shmaram Lemeshameres Shahaisa Tluya Mibodion B'Shabbos. So even if the strainer was set up and suspended over the Kluya on Erev Shabbos, you would not be allowed to strain anything on Shabbos. Iboilehu im Shimer Mai. Are we talking about a violation of a Malach Doraisa with the Chiv Chatos? What would be the din according to Chachamim? Was he over a Doraisa over here? Or is it, maybe it's only a Drabbana and he's pot. So the Gemara answers, Omer of Kahana, Shimer b'Shabbos b'Shogi l'das Chachomer rei osa molocha Doraisa v'chayev chatas. In this case, where he uses it as a strainer, he is in violation of a Doraisa, and therefore he brings a chatas. Rav Sheshes is not happy with this. Maskiv Rav Sheshes. Mika midi de rabbanon umechayve chatos v'Rabbi Rabbi Eliezer shoy lechatchilo. Can you set up and justify machlokes between the chachomim and Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Eliezer would be matir sabi lechatchilo, which according to the view of the chachomim would be a malacha dorais with a chiyuv chatos? That's not logical. Furthermore, Rav Yosef asks the kasha, but this kasha is additional to Rav Sheshes' objection to the statement of Rav Kahana. Maskif law Rav Yosef, another kasha in addition to Rav Sheshes. Alama lo. Why is it that you say that we cannot have such a... So again, this is a question of Rav Yosef on the question of Rav Sheshes. Why do you assume, Rav Sheshes, that we cannot have such a wide machlokes from one end to the other? I'm going to give you a case of Yitzia Meshus HaRabim with a jewel, with a takshit, which is called Ir Shel Zahav. You remember we discussed this. And it's a jewel that looks like Yerushalayim. And Rav Yemeir's Mechayv Chatos, Rav Yelezer Shari. Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutar even l'chatchila. So we see that we can have such a wide machlokas. Mahi, what is that machlokas about? The sanya we learned to the Braisa back on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. Lo teitze isha be'ir shel zahav. She's not allowed to walk from Ir Sayochin to Shzerabim with this jewel. Vim Yotza'ah, if she went out for Shogeg, Chayevas Chatos, because this Takshit is considered a Masa. It's considered as if she's carrying it. And therefore, she is in violation of Meleches Hotzah D'Orais, she has to bring a Chatos. Direi Rabbi Meir. V'chachom Omer Lo Teitze, Chachom out of this middle Shita, she shouldn't be wearing this particular takshit in Rosh Hashanah, but that's only also been Rabbana. We're afraid she might take it off and show it to her friends, and she'll forget to put it back on, and she'll carry it for Amos Rosh Hashanah. Yotza Ptura, but it's only a Rabbana. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yotza Isha Lechatchila, she's allowed to go out in Rosh Hashanah, Be'ir Shel Zav Lechatchila, and there's no Gzeira. Because a very chosh of a woman who would wear such a very expensive jewel would not take it off, we're not afraid that she might take it off to show it to her friends. So we have here machlokas from one extreme to the other. And Rabbi Meir on the one hand is talking about an Issa Dorais in this case, it's a Masa. And the Tanakama, or shall we say Rabbi Eliezer in this case, would be Matu L'Chatchila. So what's your big kasha, Rav Sheshes? Omalei Abaye, Sabai again wants to answer up Rav Yosef's kasha on Rav Sheshes' kasha, and he turns to Rav Yosef and he says, "Mi Savris, Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you to carry, or shall I say, to wear this takshid of Ir Shel Zahav, is even lechatchila? He's Adarebi Meir Koh. He's only talking to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omar Chayev Eschatos." And Rabbanon Koi, in other words, with regard to the sheet of the Chachamim, the Amri Potavala, so Omelu Hu Iu, Rabbi Eliezer says, that mutl chatchila, meaning the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir, who says the latter of Rabbi Meir says yichayv chatos. They hold that you potter aval osur. Rabbi Eliezer is disagreeing with the Chachamim, and he's saying that it's mutl chatchila. So that's not similar to this case here. That's here, in the case of Ir Shel Zav, we have this middle Shita, and the Chachamim have an inner Machlokes with Rabbi Eliezer, with Rabbi Eliezer is Matir L'chatchila, and Chachamim Machmir L'chatchila Mitzad Nisa Dabona. But that's not similar at all to our case, where we have only two Shitos about Shimer, and we have an extreme Machlokes. And it's clear from the Mishnah that according to Chachamim, you're not allowed to be Mishamer Shimer Yayim v'Mishameres b'Shabbos, and Rav Kahana says that im Shimer Chayv Chatos. So the Gemara wants to know now, okay, according to Rav Kahana, we don't have any objection, maybe he could somehow work this out, that Rabbi Eliezer was able to be Matil Chatchila in the case of Mishamer, but according to Chachamim that he's Chayv Chatos, what is the Av Melacha? Mishumai Masrim Bey. Every tolda has to be given asra in the name of the Av, and you got to get it right. Otherwise, the asra is invalid. So what would be the right, proper, halachically precise Av for which you can give asra in the case of Mishamer? Rabba Omer, according to one shita, Mishum Borer. And Rabbi Zera Omer, Mishum Meraket. So according to Rabba, we're talking about Borer, because he's straining it, and he's taking the Yayin from the Shmorim, from the Psoles, and Rabbi Zera says that this is called Meraket. This is like Menape Es HaKemach Me'apsoles Shebo. And we have to keep in mind that Zorah, Borah, Meraket are really three Melachos, all of which have the same goal, to separate Psoles from Ochel. All three were in the Mishkan, the Gemara says on Ayin Gimel and Beis, that's why they're all counted as separate Ovos. And now we have to understand the logic here behind Rabba, the logic behind Rabbi Zera. Omar Rabba, Kavasi Didi Mistabra. It's logical that here we're dealing with Mishamer as a tolda of Borer. Why is this? Ma'adarko Shel Borer. Like, for example, if you have legumes and you borer the good ones from the bad ones, is no telsa ochel meniachas apsolas. You're going to take out the good ones and leave out the psolas. Av hochanami, here in the case of Mishamer, no telsa ochel umeniachas apsolas. Right, the wine is going down through the small holes of the Mishameres, through the strainer, and it goes down to the bottom. And the strainer would hold on to the shmarim, to the sediments, which is the psoles, up on top. So in effect, he's taking the ochel from the psoles, and he's leaving the psoles behind. When you take the ochel from the psoles, according to Rabbah, that is the derech haboreh. So therefore, Mishamer is a classic implementation of the av boreh. Omer Rabbi Zera, Zera counters, and he says, Kavasi di dimistavro. My approach, that we're talking about Meleches Meraket, is more logical. Why? Ma'adarko Shel Meraket is Psoles Milamala V'Ochel Milamata. In the case of Menapes HaKemach, what you do is you sift out the Kemach and the Psoles floats up to the top of the strainer. Is here too Psoles Milamala V'Ochel Milamata. The Mishmarim float on top of the strainer. And the ochel, meaning the wine in this case, goes down to the bottom through the holes of the strainer. That's exactly parallel to mirror image to Meleches Meraket. So whereas Rabba puts the emphasis here on taking the ochel when it goes through the strainer and leaving the psolus on top, Rabbi Zeir puts the emphasis on the fact that since the psolus is on top, that exactly is Menape Es HaKemach, which is Meleches Meraket. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss Ol Aroi, Tani Rabbi Rami Bar Yechezkel. We have a brisa of Talis Kfula Lo Yaseh V'im Asa Patur Aval Asur. Now we're talking about an Isur Drabbanon to stretch out on Shabbos a Talis on four pegs. And the reason he does this is he wants to create a shady spot where he could sleep underneath this Talis. Now, I have to add a very important point over here, which Rashi summarizes, and that is that Rosheha Mishtalshalim Umiskaplim Bitstodim Litzada Oretz Ve Mishtamshim Mishamshim Kik Solim Lahogain Minachama. That's called an OL Aroy. So let's go over this and try to summarize what this case of Rami Bar Yecheskel's Brisa is. We're talking about a talis, we'll call it a cloak if you like, and it's folded, and he's making a tent out of this folded cloak, and he wants to spread the cloak over a certain framework of four vertical stakes or pegs arranged in a square. They're connected by four crossbars. He wants to sleep underneath it because he has a shelter and a shade, and this is called a talis kfula, folded cloak. Why? Because the sides of the cloak were folded down. In other words, the cloak drapes down on the sides and basically forming walls to shelter the person who's sleeping under the cloak from the heat of the sun. And that is what we call an Oel Aroy. But if Asa Potav Al Asa, this is only a violation of an Issur Drabanan because it's only temporary in nature. Vaiter. However, if he had as a string a chevel and it's tied around the cloak, and this is all before Shabbos, and now all he has to do is pull it and it drapes over the sides, then it's mutar linatosa lechatchila. So that now we're talking about a situation where he's got a cloak. Let's say it's rolled up. It's attached to the crossbars before Shabbos. The rope is attached to it in such a way that he can easily draw the cloak back and forth over the frame. And that's permissible because when he's spreading this oil over the frame, he is considered only Tosefis. He's adding a mosif to an oil aroi, to a temporary oil. And being mosif to a temporary OL, according to this brice at least, is mutter. And that's what he's allowed to do, and he's going to spread it out on Shabbos, lechatchila. And why is this so? Because, eino ela mosif al ol aroy, vi eino kaose OL lechatchila. And on this we have a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashba and other Rishonim. I mean, Tosfos says that it's not sufficient shekarcha lechuto mashicha elitzorch shelo yikaflenu legamrei. He's not allowed to roll it up completely. He should leave at least a tefach unrolled. A tefach rolled. So now he's considered to be mosif. That's the shita of Tosfos. The Rosh, on the other hand, holds im karcha lechut o meshicha mutar af im lo shayach ba tefach porus. Alright, so this is the shita of the Rosh. Boy minei rav kahana mi rav kila mahu. What's the story with the case of a kila? Are you allowed lechatchila to be poreis a kila on Shabbos? And we said before that a kila is a canopy. Amale, Rav said to him, af mita asura. Forget about a canopy, which is even more similar to an ohel because of the canopy, right? It looks like an ohel. But what's the status of a mita? Mita mahu. And he says, Amale, Rav Kana says, af kila muteris. Even spreading out a canopy is permissible. So this is a bit of a strange dialogue here. Okay, so Rav says to Rav Kana, even kila is muteris. So Rav Kana asks Rav, are you telling me you're making absolutely no distinction here between a kila and a mita? Is kila umita mau klomar ha'imem shovim b'dinum legamrei? Are you going to equate them together? when it's asur, it's asur. In the other case, when it's mutter, it's mutter. In the other case, amar leh. So Rav said, kila asura umita muteris. Notice they don't have the same did. Velo kash. And now Rav tries to reconcile what seems to be a contradiction in the way he presented it. And that is the following. Hadik amar, when Rav said, af mita asura, he was talking about a mita asuya kida karmone. And that's a place called Karmone, and their mitos were made michulios, which means they were sectional, they were made of segments, and they were put together, and when they were put together, they were tied together firmly, very similar to what we spoke about, the mitos of Galen before. So that's us, as we said earlier. Rav said to Rav Kana that Kila is muteres. Come and also be often shakila suya kidu Rami bar Yechezkel. Like the brisa that we had earlier of Rami bar Yechezkel, where he had the chut and the meshicha, which was set up mibo jom, and he's just pulling it when it's partially rolled up. And that which he said, Kila suro mita muteres, here he had in mind the kila and the mito asuyos ki. Kididinon, as ours. Kididan, I should read it with the emphasis on the L. In other words, we're talking about a mita mechuberes medes, so it's not sectional that we attached all the sections to, it's standing up. And he just wants to put it down on its feet, and that you're allowed to do. Or the kila, for example, is also very similar. It has in its gag, it has already a tefach, and the reason why it's asur in the case of kila is because since the gag has a tefach, that makes it into an oil, and even though it's only an oil aroy, but nevertheless l'chatchila you're not allowed to spread out the kila and create this kind of an oil. Om Rav Yosef, Chazinalu Lekile Debe Rav Huna, I saw the kilos that are in the house of Rav Huna, and to me Orta Negidu, on Leil Shabbos, what they would do is they would be Moshek, it was kind of like to be Pores, the kilo on top, Umitzafra Chavita Ramya. And what it means is that in the evening, on Friday evening, they were spread out. On the next morning, they were thrown down to the ground. And apparently, it was mutter. They allowed them to collapse the canopies on Shabbos. And if we apply the logic here, we would learn that they would have been allowed to spread out the canopies on the Shabbos. Notice the prohibition against assembly and dissembly of an OL are interdependent. If an OL can be assembled on Shabbos, then it can be disassembled as well. If it cannot be assembled, it's also then it's not allowed to be disassembled. So since we see that that in the household of Rav Huna they would disassemble the canopies on Shabbos, we can assume that they would allow the spreading of such canopies as well. Omer Rav Sheshes. One second, Omer. Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia Vilon Mutal and Toso. We're talking about a curtain, and you're allowed to hang it Al Makomo Keneged Pesach Habayis Bishabbos, and not only that, Mutal Lefarko. You're allowed to take it away from it. Is in other words, it's not considered an oil because it's not Osi Kein Gag. So this curtain can be hung and can be taken down on Shabbos because it's not at all similar to a gag. The curtain serves as a screen for an entranceway. It could be hung and taken down on Shabbos. It's only a roof-like structure that's included under the prohibition of Oel Aroy. But here it's not a roof-like structure because it's just a screen that could be hung and taken down on Shabbos as a curtain for the entranceway. The Omar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia, and here we turn to the Av Kuflam Ches Amid Beis. kilas chasadim mutal in tosa umutal lefarkla. If you have a canopy of a bridal bed that can be hung and be taken down on Shabbos, again, we're talking about simply sloping sides. There's no significant horizontal or gag on top, and therefore it's not considered an oel. Omer Rav Sheshes, Berei de Rav Idi, Lo Amora, and this then only applies that you're allowed to be poris kilos chasanam on Shabbos and Lefarka, Elo She'en begago tefach, as long as there's no roof which is a tefach wide. But if it's yesh begaga, tefach is asura, you're not allowed to take it apart and put it together again, because then it's an oel aroi, which is asur on Shabbos midrabona. And now Rav Sheshes adds the following point. V'chi ein begaga tefach nami, and even in the case where there's no roof that has a rochav tefach, lo amar, and this heter only applies, elo, She'ein bepochos mishlosha samach legago tefach. In other words, when you measure the rochav, the width between the two yerios, which are noflos mikan ulkan, in that you won't find in the rochav toshlosha tefachim smuchos legag, within the three tefachim that are close to the roof, there's no rochav tefach. And then we could say that the yiriyah is asuya bishipua. It's a very sharp slant, and therefore it's all considered a dofen, and he has no gag. Avol, but in the case of within the top part of this kila, what does he have? He has bipochos mishlosha. Sovach legaga tefach. Then it's asur. If he has in the height of this canopy less than three tefachim, a width of a tefach, then you're not allowed to hang it or take it down on Shabbos, because we're going to apply the principle of lavud, and the roof of this canopy is considered up to three tefachim, lower than the actual pinnacle of the top part of the canopy. And the canopy is now one tefach wide within three tefachim. So again, in the shpitz, obviously there's no width at all. It comes to a point. But as you move down towards the ground, what you finally find is a width of a tefach. And at what point do you hit that width of a tefach? Within three tefachim of the original point on the very top of the canopy. In such a case, it's considered as if it has a gag rochav tefach. V'lo amoron. When do we say that it's mutter? And it's not 8 OL because it's not gago tefach. It doesn't have the width of a tefach, even within three tefachim going down for the top. Elo she'ein b'shipua tefach. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach. Is then, we're going to say shipue olim ke'olim domi. So what does it mean, ein b'shipua tefach? Shnei tzidei ayiriyah prusa einam ruchokim b'shipuam tefach mikeneged emtza hagag. Dainu ein barochva lamata shnei tefachim. The oz nechsheves kula kidofen below gag vi ein kan oil. But if it's yesh b'shipua tefach. So we're really talking about this slant, right? So the width of the canopy does not amount to a tefach within three tefachim. But nevertheless, that's mutter in the case of a kilo shel chasadim, the bridal canopy. That's only where there's no tefach beneath the slope. In other words, we're going down to the horizontal, you know, straight across from east to west distance between the foot of the slope and the top of the slope. On either side, you'll still get less than a tefach, and that's why it's mutter. So it means that you have the slope of the canopy that's so steep that not only can we say that the canopy doesn't have a tefach wide within three tefachim of the apex, but either side of the canopy, in other words, the section of the canopy on either side of that pole, that center pole that holds on to the canopy on top, does not extend the tefach beyond the apex. So the total width of the sloping slides of the canopy is less than two tefachim. However, but yesh b'shipua tefach, if there's a tefach beneath the slope, then is kol holim dami. In other words, what we're saying is now that the sloping of the sides of the canopies are considered as canopies, and they have the same status as the gag on top, the horizontal gag on top, which if it has a tefach, it's osim min rabbanon. So the real kishkis of this question is what we call a slanting projection, and does it have the status of a gag? Does it have? Is it part of the walls? Or is it a roof? Do we view it as a roof or not? And if you have a slanting projection, then we're saying it might have the status of a horizontal projection, meaning of a roof, not rather than a wall, and under the following proviso. And that is that it spans an area of at least one tefach. And that our Gemara is actually reflects one shita in Masechta Sukkah on this issue. But it comes out according to this Gemara then with regard to a canopy of a bridal bed, and you want to set it up, you want to erect it on Shabbos, that unless the bed that it covers is less than 3 tefachim wide, then you're not going to be able to do this, because the canopy's horizontal segment must be narrower than a tefach. As we said before, we cannot have a roof, a gag, a horizontal gag that is a tefach. Now, it's very difficult to understand how you can imagine that such a bed is so narrow and it could have any practical use. I mean, again, it's very romantic for the Chas and Kala to be in a very tight, but it doesn't seem to be practical at all. And Rashi claims that he has less bravery. He says that they weren't sleeping in such a canopy. It was used for decorative purposes. That's Rashi here, but Rashi elsewhere, Masechta Erevin, proposes that the case under discussion is not a case of a bed which has only one canopy over it, but a bed that's covered with 2 or 3 small canopies. Each one is less than 3 tefachim in width, and that gives you a lot more space inside the canopy. And finally, another qualification for this heter is lo amaran el delo noches mipuria tefach. Av noches mipuria tefach osur. So let's say there's no tefach underneath the slopes. We can still only permit this bridal canopy only in the case where the bottom ends of the canopy do not extend a tefach below the bed. Why? Because noches mipuria tefach, if the canopy and the ends of the canopy, right, going down, extend the tefach below the bed, then it's forbidden to hang it up and take it down on Shabbos. Because once the canopy hangs alongside the bed and extends to one tefach below the surface level of the bed, then the tefach of cloth would now be viewed as walls. The bed now becomes a roof of a tent. So it's really interesting, because below the bed, there's an airspace, so to speak, of a tent below the bottom of the bed. So therefore, when you talk about spreading a cover across a bed or a tablecloth across a table, if the sides of this tablecloth or spreading they hang a tefach below the sides of the bed of the table, that should be also based on this Gemara. That's something that's really new to us. So the Mefarshim explain that the Gemara here, this Chumrah, applies in a case where the cloth was spread out to act as an OL over the area below. So the bed now, with its canopy, so to speak, is part of an OL. But if you spread a sheet across a bed, it was never placed there for the purpose of being a tent. Nobody's sleeping under the bed. And therefore the bed below would never be deemed as an OL. But there are situations of double-decker beds and so forth, high-rises, where you might have a problem, because if you drape over the bed, there might be someone sleeping on a mattress below that bed, and that's going to be a problem if it extends one tefach below the surface of the bed. So here's where we got up to. Amar Rav Sheshes Berei Derav Idi, and that's the two dots, I would say, about 11 lines down for the top of Kuf Lamed Ches Omid Beis.